Let me jump on in here. So I'm number one of the triple dipper, terrorism in America. So I know you've all heard. If you haven't heard, then stand by. The one of the largest terrorist attacks since 9/11 on U.S. soil occurred in the last 48 hours in New Orleans. So New Orleans, the French Quarter, a man in a white pickup truck came blazing through the crowd, ramming people, killed 15 people, sent, I think, 37 to the hospital with injuries. He had an ISIS flag on the back. And there was a lot of discussion about, is that a flag? What are we seeing there? And then some videos or some pictures had it, some didn't. What we do know now, and it has been apparently confirmed, he did have a black ISIS flag on the back of the truck. He also, by the way, has been identified. His name is Shamsud bin Jabbar, and he's also American-born. So he's an American-born of some Middle Eastern descent. He's a U.S. citizen, was living in Texas, and he was driving his Ford pickup, which he had rented. So this is a rental truck, and he goes blazing through the crowd and creates this mayhem. He gets out of the vehicle after he wrecked it and starts shooting, and police engaged him, and he was killed. So on the one hand, we don't have to worry about having a long, drawn-out trial with him. At the same time, you want to know, what did he know, and you can't interrogate him. He's gone. Here's the thing that, you know, we talked about the game being delayed a minute ago. Here's one of the things that I think has not been widely known. It's being confirmed now, story on Daily Wire, that not only was there a potential IED or explosive device, IED stands for improvised explosive device, in the assailant's truck, but there were two other potential IEDs that were located around the French Quarter in water coolers, and surveillance video confirms it was the suspect who died who planted those wherever they were found. So that's a huge deal. He was attempting to create a lot more mayhem than he even did create. So the idea that they had to search the stands, absolutely they did. I mean, he's got three IEDs, he killed people with a truck, and he had a firearm, and he was shooting into the crowd, then yeah, this was a big, hairy deal. And I look at this and think, my gosh, what do we know about it? Well, there's a whole thing about the truck came through the southern border. What do you mean it came through the southern border? Well, it did. So Daily Wire, again, has a piece. The truck that was used to commit a terrorist attack in New Orleans' French Quarter reportedly came through a U.S. southern border in November. Came through at Eagle Pass. Now, Fox News originally reported, by the way, that the truck had entered just a few days before. But then they updated their story and said, no, actually, tags indicate that it passed through the border coming north into the United States on November 16th. Okay, so that's November 16th. That's a month and a half. All right, that feels more like now this is a rental truck. Somebody used it to go down and pick something up or deliver something and came back. All said and done, there's been no more talk about it. Now, I said in my monologue, and if you missed the monologue, it's worth it. It tells a bit of history and other things. But my monologue, I talked about the fact that the southern border has been such a mess now for the last 4 years, such a disruption, such a source of chaos, that anytime the southern border is mentioned, it gets everybody's hackles up, rightfully so. So when we hear that this truck involved in the terror incident, the truck that was used to kill 15 people, came across that border, you immediately began thinking, okay, why? Why was it down there? Who was traveling north in it? What were they doing south of the border? Is this part of a cell? We don't know. All right, well, I will say this. New Orleans Police Department Chief Ann Kirkpatrick, in her comments, she said it was obvious that the driver was trying to run over as many people as he possibly could, that he was there to basically create chaos. There's a lot of questions, y'all, a lot of questions about who this guy was and why he did what he did. There were no indications in his prior life, so to speak, of the Army. Oh, he was in the Army? Yes, he was. That he was a radical. But we now clearly know that he was, with the ISIS flag and all of it. Social media now indicates that he had actually sworn allegiance to ISIS right before he committed these acts. So he's been radicalized at some point. We don't know why or what life circumstances may have triggered it. Or maybe it was something to do with all the stuff going on in Israel, and then he got involved with people who fomented trouble, or maybe he had some mental issues that finally reared up. I don't know. What did he do in the Army? Well, what we know is that he was in the Army as a human resource specialist. Basically, he was a clerk. He's not going to wind up being a warfighter. He was not someone who had a very, you know, storied and tenured career as the kind of guy that could create mayhem. He was a human resource specialist, and a little bit later on, while he was still in the reserves, he actually did IT work. Okay, so he's I don't want to say he's a non-combatant, because anybody in the Army can be a combatant, but you know what I mean. He was not in the midst of being trained as a warrior. Shamsuddin Jabbar, this is his name. U.S. born, lived in Texas. He had previously lived in North Carolina when he was stationed at Fort Bragg. And while he was there, he was registered as a Democrat. Interesting. He apparently gave money to Democrat causes through Act Blue, which is their big fundraising source. More interesting. The left won't talk about that, but I guarantee you, if he'd been registered as a Republican, you'd have heard about it. Anyway, he had been married. His marriage fell apart in 2012. He had two children. He's apparently been late, or maybe even not following through on child support. And he actually deployed to Afghanistan in 2009. So 2009, he's in Afghanistan. Now, I'm looking at his, and I don't want to denigrate anyone. Well, I can denigrate him all I want to. What am I saying? I look at his, he's got 13 years of military service. And I'm looking at the list of awards and achievements. And what I'm seeing is mostly the I was there ribbons. And the I was there ribbons are the ones you get for showing up. You didn't do anything, but you sure showed up. Okay. So when you show up and you don't screw up, you get things like a good conduct medal, and you get the Afghanistan, you know, overseas ribbon, the Army service ribbon. And he had his driver badge, his mechanics badge. Okay. He got one ARCOM, an Army Commendation Medal, and one AAM in 13 years. I don't know what rank he retired as, but 13 years, you'd think he could have stuck it out for 20, but he didn't. And he had what I would call a very mediocre level of military service. Somewhere in his life, though, he became radicalized. Now, there was a lot of talk about whether he was part of a cell. What do we know about that? When we get back from this break, I'll tell you what the latest is on that, because this thing is so fluid that even as I resourced the show this morning before I came in, things have been updating throughout the day. We'll tell you all about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. In number one of the Triple Dipper, talking about terrorism in America. We've been breaking down this thing in New Orleans. Before I go any further, let me jump on the phone. Brian from Huntsville. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Doing pretty well until finding out that one of the people that committed one of these atrocities is a veteran.
Yeah.
And I cannot understand it, because veterans, most politicians, most judges, there's this little oath that we all swear,
yeah,
saying to defend the Constitution of the United States against enemies, both foreign and...
I totally agree, man.
It shakes me, because that's not something to do for a term of office. That's supposed to be something you do for your life.
Yeah,
no matter how long you're
in. Exactly right. Remember, and by the way, I've got a text here from Michael from Taft, Tennessee, saying that he understands that the guy was a staff sergeant. So he was an E6, which means he'd been through, you know, PLDC and probably BNOC to be a staff sergeant. But I you remember the Fort Hood shooting? Remember that? That was an Army psychologist or a doctor who was on active duty at the time and shot up a whole bunch of reservists that were mobbing out.
Not looking for participation trophies. We're looking for a lifelong focus.
That's exactly right.
Based on what you've done and what you've said. You have a good one, sir.
You too, brother. See you. He's exactly right. Something along the way snapped in that guy, and now, you know, 50 people have paid for it, some with their lives. Now, there was a lot of talk about whether he was by himself. And by the way, I will also say this, too, that the FBI, I don't know, I mean, whoever that first spokeswoman was they brought out, remember, you and I were talking about this.
Oh, my goodness. Well, first they covered the ISIS flag, which is insane to me.
Like, why?
Yeah. And if it wasn't for people who took pictures of the flag, it wouldn't have gotten out. And then she's going to go out and say that this was not a terrorist attack. Like, that just screams from me, bureaucrats saying, we can't let them know because they probably came from the southern border. We can't have that political backlash. And it's just like, how about you just tell the people the truth?
Yeah.
Like, what is the secrecy? Like,
And I also look at it, too, and I think, okay, it's the biggest terror incident on U.S. soil since 9/11, I think, or thereabouts.
One of the ones, yeah.
And I look at it and think, how did they get the young 20-something-year-old neophyte with the nose ring to go out and do the press conference? I mean, where was the FBI director?
Yeah.
Or the local field agent, the guy in charge of the field office? I mean, how in the world?
It's just...
I guess everybody's on vacation because it's New Year's?
Yeah. The secrecy, it frustrates me beyond belief. It's like, you serve us, you know? It's ridiculous.
And we'll see. I'm hearing a mixed bag right now. I'm kind of going with rambling thoughts, but there's a mixed bag of discussion out there about whether or not the FBI is fully coordinating and cooperating with local authorities. And let's be honest, you wanted all of the above. I mean, think back to the... If you've ever seen or read the story about how they caught the Tsarnaev brothers, is that what their names were, in the Boston Marathon bombing?
Yeah,
that was an all of the above. That was state and local and federal, because the local guys know the streets, and the state people they know their jurisdictions, and the feds, they've got authorities and things that the state and local doesn't have, and they combine and they get it all done. And they all bring their resources together and they put together a war room and they get it done. I hope we're not going to find out later on the FBI is dragging its feet and trying to keep the locals from you know, stealing their thunder or something. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Better not be.
No.
Cash Patel, where are you?
And a subtle sign I saw, too. I know you're going to play a clip from it eventually of the press conference with Senator Kennedy, and he came to the podium and just kind of subtly moved her out of the way. So I'll take it from here. You know,
he did. In fact, you can go on YouTube. Just like go Google Senator John Kennedy, New Orleans terror comments.
Yeah.
And you'll get his press conference. And when he goes to the podium, you're right. I didn't see it the first time until you pointed it out to me.
It was like, a little subtle tell there.
It's like, excuse me. Just kind of moved her out of the way. But, yeah, they were saying at first there was talk about he might have been in a cell. And that's a reasonable expectation, is that this person might not be acting alone. They have now revised that, and they are saying that he was a lone wolf. How they know that, I don't know. What we do know is that when the truck came across the border, I've heard that one report said that the video surveillance shows the truck coming across the southern border back in November, that there were two people in the vehicle. However, I'm certain that they have already gone back and the rental records indicate whether those two people had reason for the truck and then it was not related. I don't know. All I know is this. We were told that they were aggressively running down every lead, right? Story here on the New York Post, that they were investigating whether or not he might have been acting in conjunction with other cells for chaos to be sowed around the nation. For reasons that they haven't explained yet, the FBI has now revised that story, and they call him a lone wolf, and they're saying that he was operating on his own. I don't know. More to come. But the reality is, I think there's a lot that we don't know yet. And we haven't even got into the thing in Las Vegas. So then there's Las Vegas, Phil? Yes, there was a thing in Las Vegas. And this is the craziest story that still, to me, has so many moving parts that no one has been able to identify. Or either that or not talking about it. Speaking of not talking about it, I'll give you Senator John Kennedy's awesome comments telling the FBI you better pony up the details when the time comes. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
All Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome back to hour number two. We're still in Dipper number one, terrorism in America. This is going to get unpacked for a while, y'all. There's so many questions. Like for instance, you had the situation in New Orleans, which we just covered in pretty good detail. The day after that, we had a Tesla truck, you know, one of those new kind of odd-looking, you know, all aluminum or steel trucks, kind of explode, kind of, in front of a Trump hotel in Las Vegas. We now know that the vehicle was being driven, and it was rented also, by the way, and the unusual thing is it was rented through the same app that the guy in New Orleans rented his truck through. Is there more of a tie-in than that? I don't know. That's like saying two people used Spotify. I don't know. Is that a big deal? Maybe. They're having to try and check and see. But the guy who was in the Tesla, some reports are saying now that he actually is now being found to have died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound in the vehicle. And the vehicle exploded. Now, there are a lot of people saying, oh, the Tesla really stopped the disaster from being really, really big. Maybe, except that here's the deal. This was not what I would call a conventional IED. Now, I am no EOD guy, all right? I'm not a bomb maker. I've got enough experience to be a little bit dangerous. But the reality is the guy who was in that vehicle, we now know, was a Master Sergeant in the U.S. Army Special Forces. Master Sergeant Alan Livelsberger, he was on active duty at the time. He had 19 years. He was 1 year away from retirement. He's an active duty Special Forces Sergeant with a very decorated career. Aside from being Special Forces, Jump Master, HALO qualified, what we know right now is that his record clearly indicates, because someone has now released it from the Pentagon, he had 5 Bronze Stars, 1 with Valor. He had a Meritorious Service Medal. He had 5 ARCOMs, 1 of which was with Valor. He had 3 Army Achievement Medals, 5 Army Good Conduct Medals. He had, you know, campaign medals with 3 campaign stars from Afghanistan. He had his Combat Infantryman's Badge. I mean, the guy was a stud. And the guy that I follow on Twitter that's reporting a lot of this, he's very tied into the Green Beret community, and he says that, by all accounts, the guy was a good dude, like had a good rep. Nobody had an issue. So you're an E-8 Master Sergeant on active duty in 10th Special Forces Group. I can tell you right now that meant that he probably had at least a top secret clearance, because he was not just an 18 series guy, which is Special Forces, and they have different versions of 18 series. And he was originally an 18 series communication specialist. And I believe he transitioned to a weapons specialist. And then he just recently completed the 18 Fox course, which means he was an intel guy. So he's a Special Forces intel guy. He had to have at least a TS-SCI clearance. You can't tell me that a guy like that was radicalized and was so unstable that no one could see it. Now, I don't know what's going on. We may find out that he was going through a life event. We may find out that he had just recently gotten a bad diagnosis. Who knows? I'm speculating. None of that's real. I don't know. I'm just telling you. But here's what I do know. He did not have a career or a pattern of life that A, says, let me blow myself up in front of Trump Hotel, and B, oh, by the way, let me make such a bad IED that the vehicle doesn't blow up. Now, some are saying, oh, it was Phil. Don't you understand? It's Tesla. They make their stuff bomb-proof. Bull crap. You don't make a bomb-proof vehicle. You just don't. The right IED can take an Abrams tank out, all right? So I'm just saying, if his level of experience being what it was, wanted to build a true IED, it would not have been shielded by the manufacturing of Tesla. Does that make sense? It just wouldn't. When you look in the back of it, it was loaded with large-scale fireworks, like actual fireworks, like the kind you use at celebrations, the big mortar kind, which are my favorite, and cans of gasoline. So maybe he did intend for there to be some type of event. Maybe he did not want to create the massive explosion that a big IED could have. And I was going to tell you, I've been near an IED when it went off. And 500 pounds of explosives will level a building. And I can tell you from firsthand experience. So for reasons that we don't understand, somebody who was more than qualified to build a good IED built a bad IED and apparently killed himself. And he was a master sergeant on active duty in 10th Special Forces. None of this adds up. Now, there's a lot of speculation out there, too, which I'll just tell you right now is pure speculation, that he and the other guy from New Orleans were both stationed at Fort Bragg at the same time. How many people are at Fort Bragg? Do you look that up for me? Do you see it?
57,000.
There's 57,000 personnel on Fort Bragg, now Fort Liberty, at any given time. The idea that that means that they were running buddies is pretty slim. I don't think you're going to find that. We don't know what unit. I don't know what unit the New Orleans guy was in. Maybe you can find that for us. Check and see his name. Oh, gosh.
The New Orleans
New Orleans guy, yeah. Shamsuddin Jabbar. What unit was Shamsuddin Jabbar in at Fort Bragg or Fort Liberty? Now, if we find out that he was in Special Forces as an IT specialist, maybe they did know each other. But I think we're going to find out is that he was a clerk at 18th Airborne Corps or something like that, and worked in areas that were nowhere near where the other guy was. We know that this guy, too, the guy that had the Tesla truck in Las Vegas, that he rented his truck and drove it there, pulled up under the awning at the front door, and then detonated. Blew out the glass. There was at least one major injury, one death, which I believe is just him. But Brian from Huntsville's texting in right now. He says, former Tesla battery fires are almost possible to extinguish, or quite possibly the reason the truck was designed to keep incidents inside. Maybe so. Listen, they're saying they're not well made. I'm just saying that if he had built a real true IED with explosives, I think it would have done more. Did you find a unit?
I'm reading this article right now. I can't find it. It's probably buried in here somewhere.
But so the other guy was an E6 who probably got off active duty. I think he got off active duty in like 2012 and then joined the reserves.
All this is saying is that, he was an information technology specialist. That's all they're saying.
That's
in here.
It. Okay. All right. Here's the bottom line. We don't know. What we do know is this, and I think that's healthy to a degree. I don't think we're going to change life. But I do think what's happened now is the southern border has made things far more difficult because we don't know who's flooded into our country. We know that hundreds on the terror watch have been allowed in. We also know that there have been any number of events that have taken place that the government has not been entirely truthful during the Biden administration. It's like they relish not telling us stuff. Well, I've got a clip here from Senator John Kennedy, who is from Louisiana, who went to the original press conference, and after he moved the FBI spokeswoman out of the way, he had his own comments to say, and what I'm about to play for you is the tail end. He started off by talking about how great local law enforcement was and how these are his people, and he's so proud of the response, and he's so sorry for the atrocities. But then he gives a warning to the FBI about transparency. Play that for me.
I ask from the federal government, catch these people, and then tell the American people the truth. Now, I don't want you to tell us yet anything that's going to interfere with your investigation. And there are things that I've been told that I think are true that I'm not sharing with you today because it could interfere with their investigation. But after we get to the bottom of this, I need to tell the American people the truth and the people in New Orleans the truth and the people of America the truth. I think the mayor and the governor are very wise to postpone this ball game for 24 hours. There's just too much stuff we don't know, and it's just not worth it. But I guess my final point is, I will promise you this: I will, when it is appropriate and this investigation is complete, you will find out what happened and who was responsible, or I will raise fresh hell. And I will chase those in the federal government who are responsible for telling us what happened, like they stole Christmas.
That's it. Yeah, so bottom line is Senator John Kennedy, in his usual, colorful vernacular, says if the FBI, after they find him, after they've done their investigation, and he gets it, there's things they can't talk about right now, he understands it, and I do too. But he says at some point, the people need to be told what he says he's already been told, but he's got clearance level knowledge and he's not allowed to talk about it. He said if they don't come true, come forward with truth, that he will raise fresh hell and treat them like they stole Christmas. And I completely agree. The FBI has got some reclaiming of its status to do, and I want them back. I want the FBI back in that vaunted position where people look at them and go, "Wow, you're with the FBI," and not, "Hey, why are you going after Granny who was praying in front of a abortion center? You know, why are you raiding people's houses because they put something on social media? Now, what are you doing down there in Mar-a-Lago? Why are you down there doing that?" I want the old FBI back. I want the one back that I know is still there because the rank and file at the FBI love their jobs and do them well. But I'm ready to get the DEI hires out, and I'm ready to make sure that the FBI has what it needs to do its job without all the wokeisms being put in their way, and that we got a true director in there who's going to take it to the next level, and a president who's going to hold their feet to the fire. At the same time, the only way they're going to do that is by things like what we're in right now with the situation with Las Vegas and New Orleans. Find the truth and put the truth out there real quick and tell people what you found. Because otherwise, speculation begins to abound. And scripture is real clear. People are destroyed from lack of knowledge. That's what it says. People, I think it's Hosea 4:6, people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. And speculation does kill. And we need to destroy speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. That's scripture too. And it's not talking about per se news, but the premise is that speculation creates issues. And the only way you get rid of speculation is by letting truth be known. And that's where we got to be. I had a whole stack of stuff right here about other terror plots that have been foiled in the U.S. since 9/11. I think I'm going to hold that for right now. The bottom line is this. There's more to be unwound. But I think we need to move on to another topic for a while. So we'll go ahead and take a break. We'll come right back. And yeah, Wendell from Baton Rouge saying, and I love Senator Kennedy. He said, looks and sounds like a hayseed, but he's a highly educated hayseed. I'd vote for him, whatever he does, what he runs for. Wendell from Baton Rouge, we appreciate you, man. All right, you guys, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.